Good morning. This is Chairman Brad Holton. Present is Commissioner Van Beek. Absent is Commissioner Brooks. He's at a Southwest District Health Board meeting. With that, we have a 10:30 agenda item, and it will be action item. And it would be for Board of Equalization meeting with county assessors regarding missed supplemental and occupancy rolls and some other information that they have before us. Thank you.
How are you, Mike?
So take it away.
Are you here for the?
Yeah.
So you get to have your first statement, so you can come up here.
Right. Sorry. We have just attached copies of our current leases. We were told by, are you Mike?
Yes.
Okay, Mike, that it's based on the income approach right now of $1.10 per square foot, and all of our tenants are renting at $1 per square foot, so we're just requesting that it be brought down to the dollar per square foot that our tenants are paying. And we also have attached a copy of our current costs that we have provided to our CPA. I know it does not matter as far as it because it's based on income approach, but we've also, which is way less than what the assessed value is.
Okay. And for the record, your name and who you represent?
Stephanie Boomgarden and AB Homes LLC and BB 3402 LLC owner. Do you want to begin? Yeah, so here's one of each. So one for each property.
Thank you. Yeah.
She said five, or it said five in the email.
Yeah.
Five copies.
Well, we could have, yeah.
We're missing a commissioner, so we'll have one for the deputy clerk.
Do you want it, or you want me just to keep it?
Yeah, we could leave it for him.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Chairman, just a question. You've had a chance to review this information?
Not all of it. This is Mike Cowan with the county. But I've been in discussion over the phone with Stephanie over what our requirements are and the information that she's providing to the board. And it looks like it's consistent with our conversations.
Chairman,
you can see it, be seated if you want to. You're fine.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes.
I have a question for the applicant. Did you? You've got the cover sheet, and then you've got your lease provisions, and then some of your financial information. Did you bring any comps with you?
No, I did not.
Okay. Thank you. And Chairman, I'm assuming that the assessor's information was in the folder today?
Yes.
Okay, so there's only one copy of that. So maybe I could look at the one copy while you look at the other one, we'll trade.
There's two of them.
There's something that is not clear to me. And maybe you can help
help with the clarification on that. It says basic annual rent at $1 per square foot. And where was the 0.05? Where was the 5 cent?
That is just on the phase one aviation lease. The 5 cents was paid. There's a copy of the invoice that was paid to their representative to make it so it's only $1 per square foot. There's a copy of the $9,000 invoice that was paid to them for the 5%, and it's on there. So that should be under the BB3402 LLC. That's the only one that had a leasing representative, and that was the agreement. We were leasing for $1 per square foot all of our spaces, and in order for them to use their representative, the agreement was to make it 105 and pay the 5% back to the leasing company.
So I'm totally confused. So I'm the tenant. Am I paying a dollar and 5 cents, or am I paying just a dollar?
You're paying a dollar and 5 cents, and we're paying the 5 cents back to your representative. Okay. So we're netting a dollar. We're getting a dollar, basically. Okay. The same as our other spaces.
But this board needs to look at what the tenant is paying, and all of the other is interesting. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, so how did county come up with the assessment?
Hold on just a second. And since we're in the Board of Equalization, we're supposed to be in the Board of Equalization. We didn't get sworn in.
And then we would have to adjourn. So this is the chairman's, not very many. So we need to.
We don't normally have them at this.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So good catch, because I didn't catch it, Chairman. So we need to adjourn as a Board of County Commissioners and resume as a Board of Equalization.
All right.
Chairman, I move that we adjourn as a Board of County Commissioners and assume the role of a Board of Equalization for Canyon County.
Okay. I would second that motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. So I would ask that we open the Board of Equalization this morning, and we have these two business items in front of us. And with that, present is Commissioner Brad Holton speaking and Commissioner Van Beek, and Commissioner Brooks is absent this morning. So with that, Greg, how would you like to get started then on the record?
I think we should swear everybody in, and then you're already on the record. I mean, it's already recorded, so I don't think you'd have to testify again. I think we're fine.
But, okay.
And then we can go forward.
Okay.
So Mike Callen, Greg Hines, Stephanie Bomber, we'll swear you in for a good measure. You've already offered some.
It's Boom space. Garden.
Boom Garden?
Boom.
Boom Garden?
Okay. Yeah, like BOOMGARDEN.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So with Mike Callen with the county, for the sub role, we've already gone through a Board of Equalization for 2023 for the regular role. And so the lien date is January 1 of 2023 for the regular role, as well as the sub role, which is the hearing today. So the information that we will be presenting will be sales and information from 2022, because again, we're looking backwards from the lien date of January 1 of 2023. As the case with most sub-roll new construction hearings that you'll hear in the future, these are buildings that were built in 2023. Therefore, the information for the building construction costs, as well as the leases that occurred, happened in 2023. And that's information that we're collecting for our 2024 assessments. But for the case, for this particular case, the lien date is January 1 of 2023, so a little over a year ago. So that's the information that you're going to see in our presentation. I did combine the two parcels. They're basically essentially the same. You can see in the picture up above, it's the two buildings. They're both 7,500 square foot multi-tenant properties. They have two tenants. The buildings were designed to have two tenants for each suite. If you can go to the next. So basically, this is a rendition of the two suite buildings. You can see that there's a separate restroom facility as well as a small office space for each side of the unit. Again, this is just another aerial shot of the two buildings that are in question. Parcel R 244-13120 and 121 are the two that are in question that are owned by the appellant. So these are the sales that we used. These are all 2022 sales. These are the sales that happened in Black Butte. This is a fairly new subdivision. Well, it's actually about 3 or 4 years old, but it keeps expanding every year. They build a half dozen warehouses each year. These are along I-84. They do have I-84 frontage. Kind of sits behind the old Carnation plant, which Simplot ended up purchasing for potato processing. And they closed that. And also next door to Idaho Power, which is just to the northwest of these buildings. So anyway, these are the sales that we have. So by Idaho statute, there's going to be a couple things that we need to address. One is the statutes of market value, which is 63205 and 63208, that we are to value all properties at that market value. The other IDAPA rule that kind of follows along with the statute is IDAPA 350103, and this is the one that the administrative rules that the Idaho State Tax Commission develops to support the Idaho statutes. And Rule 217 is the one that primarily governs the assessment rule.
It's in there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in there. It's right there. And so 217 basically goes through and talking about market value definition, willing buyer, willing seller, under no compulsion to sell or purchase the property, and assuming a full cash payment. And so that's the market value standard that you'll see in Idaho statute. It also states that we are to consider three approaches to value. One would be cost, one would be sales comparison, and one would be income approach. With the cost approach, cost doesn't always necessarily equal value, because there's always going to be an entrepreneurial profit that a developer is going to have on top of the cost to acquire the land, and also the cost to acquire the building. The developer is, of course, going to want a profit when he goes to sell the property. And so that's kind of the gist of the cost approach. The sales comparison and the income approach are the ones that we're going to be looking at today. One of the things that it states in the bottom that we've highlighted in yellow, this is Rule 217, paragraph 3, basically states that when you're considering the income approach, you're required to use market rents and not contract rents. Contract rents being the rents that are in place. Now, these rents that the subject properties acquired actually happened and were contracted in 2023. Again, we're looking at what happened in 2022. So the information that we have on the leases, those will be put into the pool for the 2024 assessment that will be coming up. So that's kind of where we're at probably where we have the biggest difference in our opinion. So we're using 2022 data and they're using 2023 data. So going back to the sales, we have four sales of similar properties in the subdivision. You can see the subjects at $238 per square foot. That's at the bottom of the column in red. The sales range between $218 and $284 per square foot. with an average of 254, and that's the average is what we'd be looking at in our appraisal. We actually reconciled with an income approach, which we'll go through a little bit later, but you can see that $254 per square foot versus where they're currently assessed. Again, these are all single tenant properties, but there's really not a lot of difference between single tenant and multi-tenant. If we can go to the next slide.
The other way.
Go the other way. So these are where all the sales occurred in comparison to the subject properties. Again, they're just right across the street and next door. They're properties that were built in 2022. So the next one that we have is another subdivision that's just at two exits down from the subject properties. These are in the old Broadmoor, used to be a country club, had a golf course there, right behind Norco. It's off the north side, but it's relatively close to I-84. These are a little bit larger buildings than the subject property, whereas the other comps in Black Butte were a little bit smaller. But this just kind of gives you another range of that the size really doesn't have a lot of bearing on the price per square foot. Again, you have a sale of 250 and 233 with an average of 242. Again, and we're at 238. If we go to the next slide. And you can see where the subject properties are in comparison to comps 5 and 6 and where that subdivision. If we go to the next one. So the other statute, this is actually the Constitution. So there's a couple things that we look for when we're assessing properties. One is to find market value, that's the gold standard. But we also have to be equitable in our assessments. So we have to be consistent with how we assess the subject properties in comparison to the ones around it and that are similar in nature. If we go to the next slide. And that will actually come up in this slide here. This is our equity comparison. So the two subject properties are at $238 per square foot. You can see all the warehouses around it are assessed at the same rate. This is on page 13, if you're looking at the paper copy. Which takes us to our income approach, because this is how we actually reconciled the properties in Black Butte and most of our industrial properties as we reconciled. Again, we're considering the cost approach, the sales comparison approach, and then the income approach. And how does the income approach develop a value that is market, which is kind of correlates in with the sales comparison approach. But so the way that we actually did this, we did it on a single tenant model that we used, and this is consistent with how we appraised all the industrial warehouse properties in the Canyon County. The developed cap rate value was the current assessment, which is $1,786,900. Our request, because we do have another model that we use for multi-tenant, and we would like to change the model to reflect actually what's there, which is a multi-tenant. If we can go to the next slide. So this is the next model that we used on the multi-tenant warehouse properties. And the only difference between the single tenant and the multi-tenant is the vacancy and collection factor. We use 5% for single tenant, and because multi-tenant typically has a few more vacancies, we used a 7% in our model, which actually does reduce the value of the property by about $35,000 or in some change. But we would recommend that the board reduce the value so that we're consistent with all the other multi-tenant properties down to this particular value. If we can go to the next slide. So this is the last slide. So the current assessment, as you can see up there, is 1.786. We'd like to suggest that the board reduces it to 1.749300. You can see what the average of the sales comps are for, that's 254. It's still well below what the averages are coming up with, but we feel it's equitable with all the other properties that are similar to the subject properties. And just one quick note, as we're looking into 2023 for the 2024 assessments, we do have two more sales that happened in 2023. Of course, this isn't in our calculations for this case, but we're still showing that the property values are still going, there's remaining constant or going up even in 2023 from 2022. We haven't seen a drop in the sale prices as of yet. So that's just kind of a illustrative preview of next year's hearings that you'll have. So
do you want to address the $1.10?
Well, the $1.10 that we used for our rates, those came off of the 2022 data that we collected. I think we had 43 or 44 leases that I collected to develop the average of the $1.10 per square foot for properties of this size. So I'll take any questions if you have any.
That's a significant number of comps of leases, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Not like when we wrestle with egg properties.
Correct.
All right.
And we did not have hardly any appeals last year for industrial properties. It was pretty clear of what the market was back then.
Chairman?
Yes.
And I'm just going to be the captain obvious here, but the suggestion to lower that value applies to both properties.
Right.
Yes. And the owner's opinion on that, in years past during the equalization hearings that I've been a part of, you've been good to go through. There's a number of different factors if you were to base it on an income approach, including management, location, maybe depreciation, age of facility, all of that. And did I hit? I guess I'm just trying to get to that. I understand why we didn't do the cost on that. You've explained that well. And on the income approach for that, so explain that to me again.
Go back to the equity slide. So as you can see, where all the this is our equity comparison on page 13. You can see where all the assessments are sitting at using an income approach. We could reconcile on a sales comparison approach and come up with a very similar values to what the income approach is showing. We kind of follow where the investors are looking at when they go to buy and sell their properties and what makes more sense. With the income approach, as you can see with the assessments, we're very equitable. It's a little more equitable way of being able to value and assess the properties. And we go back to the Idaho Constitution, which is Title VII, Section 5. It says we need to have uniformity in our assessments. And so that's by the Idaho Constitution, this is probably the best way that we're able to achieve the equity standard from our Constitution. And we do have different subdivisions that have different rates. And it's just because, you know, we're not going to do Melba the same way as we're going to do this particular facility. And even other subdivisions that have sales that differ based on their location, we're going to have different rates for that within our different models of for the income approach. But the income approach is just what we've been able to reconcile with, and it's easier for the customers to understand the language in the income approach just because that's the way they're buying and selling when we talk to brokers, appraisers, buyers, and sellers of these properties.
Thank you, Mike.
Any rebuttal?
I still would like it to be a dollar per square foot, and now seeing that there's the multi-tenant, I would recalculate with the 7% vacancy rate. And just to be completely honest, we as owners are not even paying this. We have a triple net lease. So I'm here basically on behalf of my tenants because they're the ones that are paying it. And that's what they're paying it. I feel that they should be paying it at what square footage, at the dollar per square foot that they're actually on their lease. So it's not even us that are, you know, it's not coming out of my pocket. I'm here for them.
Chairman. And are we at a talking point for these? Is that where you're ready to go?
Is there anything else, Mike or Greg?
The only thing, I just need to point back to Rule 217 down at the bottom that we must use market rent, not contract rent. And we are looking at 2022 data. The leases that they have are leases that were achieved in 2023, and that's what we'll be looking at in 2024 for the assessments. And it'll go into a pool. We won't use the contract rents unless those contract rents happen to be market rents for 2024.
I have one question. When you look at the market rents, are you actually looking at what people are actually signed leases for or what they're on the market for? Because there could be something down the street from us that's been on the market for 6 months for $1.20 square foot, but it's not renting.
Correct, and that's what we're looking at. So we're looking at the contract rents that occurred in the year that we are looking at the data.
So you actually go to the owners and get their lease rates?
Owners or the tenants.
Okay, thanks for that clarification.
Chairman, it makes it difficult to argue on that where the assessor's office has gathered, and by state statute, the preponderance of evidence is on the applicant to basically, if you will, overturn what's been provided for evidentiary evaluation by the board in the absence of comps. And I understand and I appreciate the presentation by the applicant, but the board doesn't evaluate information based on what people would like to pay rent for. It's based on what the market values and the data that's brought. I do want Greg to, it's my favorite term, it's the dispersion one that we always talk about. And they have been recognized in the past by the state of Idaho for how tightly they evaluate the market conditions. There was a comment made by Janet Moyle at a District 10 meeting that there were counties in Idaho in an effort to alleviate some of the tax burden. They gave as short a margin as they could. The state of Idaho still had to come in and reassess some of those valuations, which is not desirable for anyone. So I'm not an expert. This is the field that the assessor operates in. But what I know is we have to have evidence like we do in land use hearings to be able to overcome an argument for lowering that. What I heard was that there was a reduction in the valuation based on the multiple tenant, which Mr. Cowan was gracious and said it's a negligible difference, but he did still allow margin on both properties for those. So there has been some consideration to try and make this a little more equitable based on the information and the conversation that's taken place with the applicant. But Chairman, I don't have enough information to grant the request for either the valuation of $1,620,000 or the cost approach on this. And what I would find is that the assessor's office has presented information that would allow a motion to uphold the assessor's value as presented on these two properties today based on Idaho code and IDAPA rules.
Yeah, I unfortunately I would have to concur. The amount of evidence is overwhelming, and so that's all I have to say.
Okay.
I entertain a motion.
Okay, and I'm getting to my... So, Chairman, based on the information that's been provided to the Board of County Commissioners, I move that the board upholds the values on Properties for BB3402 LLC at 3402 North Black Butte Court in Nampa, and for AB Homes LLC 3390 North Black Butte Court in Nampa. The valuation of both of those properties will be upheld at $1,786,900 with the information and the evidence that's been provided to the Board of County Commissioners by the Assessor's Office.
So what happened to the value suggestion on the multi-tenant? Because it's a multi-tenant, though.
I'm sorry. Yes, you're correct. Thank you for that, Chairman. I want to correct that motion. I didn't have that. So that would be $1,749,300. Pardon me.
Yeah, to their presented reconfigured.
Yes.
It's lower.
Thank you.
Did you get that in the motion? You'll have to go back. So I'm agreeing that your motion is the reconfigured lower amount that they presented in their report.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So you made that motion. I would agree with that motion. And so I would second that. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Any other issues on this? Let's adjourn as the Board of Equalization.
That sounds good, Chairman. Thank you.